again for your giving. Remember, those of you that got here a little late to be prayerful for the family of Shirley Freeman and Kim's mother, and the family is in, and the Hodges family once again are preparing for the passing of a loved one. And it was just a privilege and an honor to hear that prayer that releases eternal things into the life, salvation, redemption through the blood of Jesus, and to see a heart begin to long for reunion with loved ones and really become less of this earth and more focused on heaven. It's you go in for a little pain, you're diagnosed with the cancer throughout your entire body, inoperable and given days to live, and you think you have something as simple as gallbladder. You have it removed, you go home, you recover, and everything just continues as it is. That's how quick things can change in one's life. A lot of things you see coming, you kind of prepare for. Other things blindside us. We don't see it coming. We serve a God who sees everything that's coming in our life. And we need to keep our trust absolutely, wholeheartedly in the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to a psalm to help us reassume the posture of victory. I've preached along this line before. God has led me back to it today for review because I believe we all need it. In our hearts and in our lives. You can't live in this world and be unaffected. There is no place of faith. And I know I will go against some preaching and teaching you may have heard, but I'm really, I got a Bible here, so I'm not really interested in anything but what it has to say about God and the things of God. Amen. There's all kinds of people's points of view and speculative attitudes and you know, kind of, I've seen these trends come and go where everybody jumps on a particular trendy saying or something. I've seen people go from a faith that is focused squarely on God to a faith in their faith, where faith does all the work instead of God doing all the work, and actually man with the faith gets the glory instead of God, whom without faith would be useless. Can you say amen? Don't ever develop faith in your faith, because not if, but when your faith is shaken by anything, amen, you have nothing to stand on. Amen. Keep your faith in a God who will not let you fall. Can you say amen? A God who promised to hold your hand and uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness. Amen. I want to talk about reassuming the posture of victory. I want to talk about a God who is the lifter of your head. Everybody say, the lifter of my head. Remember that song we used to sing it? Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and say it again, the lifter of my head. Now, before I read Psalm 3, I want you to, I'll give a context to it in just a moment, but let me just quote some scripture to you today. Throw some things out. The spirit of a man, the Bible says, will sustain his infirmity. Whatever weakens you without is sustained by the strength that you have within. The Bible said, though the outward man perish in the New Testament, the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man isn't just your body. It includes your emotions. Everybody say your emotions. That's still in the realm of the outward man. Your inward man is your spirit man. Your outward man, or your soulish part of you, the Bible said he wants to sanctify us wholly, and he delineated that we are a trinity as well. We, the Lord God, sanctify you holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that you might be H-O-L-Y. But in order to get you to H-O-L-Y, he has to do something that includes the whole of you, W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's why the scripture said, the Lord God sanctify you holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, spirit, soul, and body. Say it with me, spirit, soul, and body. So the Bible said the spirit of a man will sustain, that inward man, that man within the man will sustain your infirmity. We are strengthened with might, and don't think your emotions are ever going to get beyond feeling sadness, feeling heartache, feeling heartbreak. Amen. You'll never get fearless in the sense of never experiencing fear. If you got a call that your husband had, he went down to the store to get a loaf of bread, you got a call on the phone, Sister House, and you know what it says? It says, there has been a terrible accident. Your husband is on the way to the hospital. We don't know his condition. Are you just going to say, well, you know, I got biscuits in the oven right now, and and I'm just going to trust God, and when I get through with my cooking, I'll kind of, you know, say, no, that's not how that's going to work. You're going to pull the biscuits out. Amen. You're going to turn it off. You're going to go to the hospital. That's a genuine concern. See, you never get beyond. That's why when God strengthens you, it's not your emotions that are going to get the strength. The Bible said we're strengthened with all might. Where? In the inward man. God knows, regardless of your emotional state, the spirit of a man will sustain whatever weakens him, his infirmity. But listen to this, and this is Satan's target, but a wounded spirit who can bear. That means you can't take anything unless you're strengthened with might in the inward man, and you know how to allow the inward man's strength to rise up and not depend on your emotions. Amen? I don't feel like praising God. I have a heart to praise God. Don't get me wrong. And that is consistent. But I don't feel like it 24/7. There are times I just don't. I went through heartbreak. I don't know about the rest of you. Maybe you've come to a spiritual plane that I don't believe any preacher that says you can live on a plane in this world, in this fallen world, with these faulty bodies, so divorced from your emotions that somehow faith can separate you from your emotional man. It doesn't separate you. It gives you the strength to overcome, but it doesn't separate you. One of the things that I've seen pastors do at funerals that I disagree with. I'll tell you why I disagree with it in a moment. It's to tell people who are grief-stricken because they love so much that the loss is touching them deeply. And tell them in their grief, come on, don't cry, they're okay. Well, I'm not crying for them, I'm crying for me. I'm missing them. And at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus was not divorced from his emotions. He wept. He identified with our hurt and our pain. We don't have a high priest that is in a hyper-faith world like some of the preachers are preaching. Amen? But he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For he was in all points. Everybody say all points. Tempted as we are, yet without sin. Because we have that kind of high priest who can identify with us, understand us completely, know exactly what we're feeling and why we feel it. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain what's he going to give us, because he understands us so much. Mercy and grace to help us in the time of any need. Can you say amen? We're strengthened with might in the inward man. Though the outward man, after that happens, perishes. And that involves the emotions as well as the body. The inward man is renewed day by day. You know, in Shirley's inward man, there is strength right now. Amen. Shirley, who's in the hospital, whose body is deteriorating, whose bodily organs are now in jeopardy, amen, is setting her heart on the things of heaven. I was talking to Kim last night, and she was in the hospital room, and she said, you know, Mama's just talking about seeing Uncle so-and-so, and we were kidding. I mean, she's just talking about heaven. This is not a church lady who's had a background in church and everything all her life. This is someone who's come to the Lord. Amen. Like a firebrand plucked out of the fire. Amen. But immediately, her focus is on heaven. Oh. And they're sitting there, mother and daughter, talking about Uncle, who's Uncle Charlie? Uncle Charles? Says you probably won't recognize him. Because he'll have hair in heaven. He'll have to be introduced to you. Isn't it great we're all going to have hair in heaven? I worked a long time this morning to cover this area right here. My wife had to come in and help me. I'd comb it and it'd just keep falling this way and that way. And I finally got it just right and hit it with the hairspray. If I come up out of the water at a baptizing, if I ever slip over into the water, when I come out, you'll see what I was doing all that spraying for. Hallelujah. I got a good tan on the top of my head. I want you to know when it happens, I'm already tanned. I'll match. But they're talking about heaven. Here's someone that went in, and the grace of God that is there. When I asked her, I said, we need to do two things. to give all of this to God? Number one, we need to accept Christ as our Savior. Repent of our sins and know that He is our Savior, our Lord, and our Master. And then commit ourselves to Him totally, no matter what happens from that point forward. Are you ready to do those two things? And Shirley said, yes! I don't mean no fiddle-faddle, mess around, beat around the bush. And this is before the absolute terminal stuff was told by the doctor. This is when there was hope for a recovery. And the yes was so affirmative. And we serve a God who is mighty to save. See, Pentecostals get so caught up, and I love the power of God. Don't get me wrong, but we get caught up in the fact that power has been poured out. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And we usually stop right there. Amen. Where the comma is, we put a period. Amen. We're looking for that power. There's power in the blood. There's power in the Holy Ghost. Can you receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you? But listen. Listen very carefully. Amen. This is what Joel said. This is what Peter preached. This is what he quoted. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the Bible teaches. And whosoever the result of that outpouring is not just a bunch of Christians getting liver shivers on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? And whosoever, because he has come into this world, amen, the one who will convince us of sin and of unrighteousness, when he is come into this world, praise God, hallelujah. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you say amen? I want you to know Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn it, but to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that kind of Savior. And it is so good to see someone that's received that kind of salvation. And it's talking about seeing Uncle Charles again with hair on his head. And I talked about seeing my wife's grandfather with two arms. He was my grandfather's pastor in Kentucky. He lost his arm in an automobile accident. Amen. He came to the Lord after that. He was a hard-drinking, hard-living coal miner. And he came to God, and he was a one-armed preacher. And he would sing, "Fill My Way with Love," and sling that arm to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when he was dying, laying my head on Papa Hall's chest, and we would pray together, and he'd reach over with that one arm. And he got a lot of strength in that one arm, because he did with one arm what we used two for. So he'd reach over and grab me and hold me to his bosom and tell me that he loved me. Amen. And we would have a sweet fellowship with the Lord and one another. I'll tell you, you want to get the Holy Ghost excited, you start loving people. You can talk in tongues, shout, dance, and do all that other stuff. But until you start loving people, you'll never have a real free-flowing, amen, spiritual life. Can you say amen? But you start loving people, you'll feel Him rise up in you and just pour through you. Praise God. I laid my head on Papa's Hall's chest, and I could feel Jesus just loving Him through me. And you know what? Then Jesus in Him would love me through Him. You didn't hear me. I said Jesus in me was loving Him, and Jesus in Him was loving me. You can't be a blessing without getting a blessing. Amen. It's a two-way street. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kim and I was talking last night on, is his arm, where's his arm? I heard it was buried in Kentucky. I heard they buried his arm. I guess they throw them away now. Amen. But or dispose of them as whatever when they take an arm off. But his arm was buried. I guess just, you know, you just, it's been an old friend. You don't want to just, I mean, some people bury their dogs out back, and my arm's a little closer to me than my dog. Can you say amen? And I love my dogs, but I need my arm. And his arm's buried in Kentucky. His body is buried in Brandon Cemetery, right by Highway 60. Big cemetery near the mall. On resurrection morning, you know what's going to happen? A body's going to rise up down here in Florida. And an arm is going to come out of the ground in Kentucky. Amen. And God's going to do this. He wouldn't be God if he couldn't pull this off. Praise God. Job said he can pull it off. He said, I'm going to tell you how much of a God we're serving. He said, if the skin worms eat every bit of the flesh off my bones, my Redeemer's going to stand on the last day. And when he stands up, I'm going to stand up with him in my flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. And here's Shirley talking about heaven. Shirley talking about seeing her loved ones. Amen. Her whole life now is consumed with heaven. And here's the deal. You go in not preparing for death. You go in not preparing for what's going to happen. You go in to get a common surgical procedure and get back to your life. And you find out you don't have months to live or weeks to live. You have days to live. And suddenly, not having any real church background, your heart is set on heaven when you receive Jesus. I have seen Christians who have been in church all their life, not that prepared when the time comes. And it took me back. I thought, after all of these years, we got two radio broadcasts. The other one must be in that car somewhere under something. I forgot to give you number one. We done brought you number two. But it's on the radio. We have two broadcasts back to back on heaven. And I made a statement at the beginning of the teaching on heaven. You almost have to go to a funeral anymore to hear a good sermon on heaven. Because we are so overwhelmed with our earthly responsibilities and circumstances. Almost everything is addressing just how to cope with it all. Just how to walk in victory or get victory or just hold the fort down here. And yet the Bible said in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God and set your affections on things above. Can you say amen and not the things of the earth? Amen? I believe with the nearness of the Lord's coming so close and the fact that we're all aging and so many are going, we need some more teaching on heaven. For the Bible said, don't lay up your treasure on earth where the thief can steal and the rust and the moth corrupt. But lay up your treasure, say it with me, in heaven where the thief can't touch it, the rust can't affect it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because where a man's treasure is, if you're in this thing just to get a 16-bedroom, 8-bathroom home so you can say, I am now up there with Brad Pitt. Can you say amen? You're in it for the wrong reason. Amen. We ought to be in it for the right reason. Amen. Amen. We need shelter. We need food. We need clothes. And Jesus said the Father knows about all of that. Right. But where's your heart supposed to be? Seek ye first kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these other things the Father will take care of. We used to sing, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to Beulah land. We used to sing Beulah land. Beulah means married. It's what God told Israel. You'll no more be called forsaken. You'll be called Beulah. You'll be called married. You'll come back to me and I'll come back to you and we'll be in covenant. I'll be a husband to you. You'll be like a wife that I care for. Can you say amen? We used to sing Beulah land, I'm longing for you. Can you say amen? We used to sing, I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below which flames devouring waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. We used to sing, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, walking and talking with Christ, the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful that we used to sing, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Glory is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be with the saints shall rise. Headed for that jubilee yonder. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, Terry. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing. Singing in the Holy Ghost. How the heavens will ring. Can you say amen? Millions. friends there will join the song. With them we shall be praising Christ through ages long. Heaven's Jubilee. If I ever, Sister House, get in my rocking chair, if Jesus tarries and I make it to my rocking chair, and I ever write a book from a little pasture of little work chronicling what God has done, one of the chapters, looking back on my generation, the changes that have come, would be titled, "What Ever Happened to Heaven?" We used to hear about it, sing about it, think about it, dream about it. Lay up our treasure in heaven. Can you say amen? Now everybody's trying to lay up their treasure on the earth while disregarding heaven. And you go into the hospital, amen, to get a little pain problem taken care of. You're given days to live. Suddenly, none of that has any value. But what has all the value is the promise that when you leave this body, you go to a place and you go to people where you're going to live forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't believe we'll see revival in America till we get the focus back on Him, Jesus, and heaven. Hallelujah. Where the saints are going to live forever. I don't believe a real revival comes anywhere without Jesus being exalted and heaven being the focus of our entire journey of life. Hallelujah. Amen? We're earthbound. And believe it or not, some of the most spiritually seeming people, the Bible says they're flesh. They that are of the flesh mind what? The things of the flesh. If I've got a daughter dying of cancer, she's 6 years old, her head is shaved, they're trying radiation, they're giving up hope. I don't want to hear about a Mercedes. I don't want to hear about a new house. I want to hear about a God who's mighty to deliver, mighty to heal, and mighty to save. Can you say, man? I don't want somebody to show me their watch and say, look what faith has done. Can you say, man? Hey, take off, forget the watch. Can you say amen? Remember Simon Peter, amen, and John going up to the gate beautiful. Amen. What if they just pulled out a $20 bill, amen, to that guy that was begging and said, man, you ought to get in covenant like we are. You get a watch like this, a ring like that. Well, man, I'm going to bless you today. Here's your $20, amen. And here's the guy lame, can't work. Only thing he can do is beg. There's no system to provide for him. So he sits where Christians go to church because they're benevolent, generous people. Said, this is a good place to beg. Here comes a couple of Christians along, Peter and John. And they said, you know something? They must have done give out to somebody begging down the road. You know why? Because when they got up to him, they said, silver and gold have I none. Boy, that must have really went over like a lead balloon with that guy. Because the Bible said he looked at them expecting to receive something from them. Something of material substance, something of the physical, something I can put in my hand and buy me some food with, or a new pair of sandals. But here comes two guys along, and the first thing they say to me is, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have. Whoa, now his expectation is coming back up. Such as you got. Honey, if you ain't got silver and gold, how could you possibly help me? And taking him by the hand and beginning to lift him up, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise upon thy feet and walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he took off for the temple. He burst into an existing meeting going on. He ran down the aisle, running, leaping, and praising God. I heard that's supposed to be the true story of just before the Reformation, of a high-ranking cardinal standing on the steps of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, one of the most beautiful, richest churches in the world. Amen. Literally standing on those steps with a high-ranking cardinal, a man standing there saying, having a discourse back and forth, and the high-ranking cardinal said, "The day has long since passed since the church has to say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" And the man beside him said, "Yes, and the day has also passed when the church could say, 'Such as I have, give I thee.'" Can you say amen? I don't know what you go to church for, but I go to receive that money can't buy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Money can't buy you an answer to prayer. Some people imply that it can. The Bible never promises that. If it did, only the rich could get God to answer them. I'll tell you what gets every prayer answered you pray. The blood of Jesus that was shed on that old rugged cross. His atoning sacrifice and his intercession. His scars paid for your healing. And freely we've received. How are we supposed to communicate it? Just the same way we got it. Everybody say we're supposed to give it the way we got it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You didn't have to pay anything to get in here today, did you? You didn't even have to give in the offering today. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to preach as if everybody in here just wrote a $1,000 check. Because everything I got from God, I got it for nothing. Amen. Freely. How are we supposed to give it away? The same way we have it. Hallelujah. Freely. 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 Praise God. God freely blesses us. See, He wants to get us to understand. We're going to take all of these emotional hits. We're going to take all of these things that can deplete us from spiritual vitality, can distract us and discourage us. But what He wants to do is have our focus on Jesus, strengthen us with might in the inward man. David said it's so crucial that you understand the separation between your emotions and that inward man. And he had limited knowledge. This was the old covenant. But he said, "I had fainted. I had literally been crushed by life's difficulties and circumstances. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." I'm glad he said that, because we all know when we get there, all of this is going to be behind us. But we don't live there. We live here right now. So we need what David was talking about. So he makes a prayer unto God, and he says, "When my heart is overwhelmed within me, Lord, help me to focus on you." Yes. Because when your heart is overwhelmed, the heartbreak that you're feeling, the heartache that you're feeling, the grief that you may be feeling, can take your focus from Jesus, who's the only one that can help you with it. There are people who've lost a child and their marriage eventually fell apart because they couldn't get over the grief. I told you I would never tell anyone not to sorrow, but I would tell them what Paul said. When he said sorrow not, he put it in this context: "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep, those that die in the Lord, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope." He didn't say you don't sorrow, you just don't sorrow like others who have no hope. A former ambassador to the Soviet Russia, who lived there for several years, he said there's nothing sadder than a Soviet funeral. Because when they're raised in Marxism and Leninism and communism, atheistic communism, they don't believe anything happens. There's no heaven, there's no hell. John Lennon believed the same way. One of his most sentimental sung songs is Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven above us, no hell beneath us. Imagine there's no religion. Let's just make this a total God-free planet, God-free zone. We'll all just, you know, toke up, smoke up, drink up. He was an alcoholic. Amen. And let's just love one another, and let's just don't worry, be happy. Religion is causing the tension. God is causing the guilt. Get rid of religion and God. Get rid of the tension and guilt. We can all be happy. That's baloney. That's baloney. Didn't work for him. you'd like to ask. I'm not talking about because he got shot. I'm talking because he was an alcoholic. With all of his riches and fame, he couldn't live without a drink. And some of you know what that's like. You can't live without a drink. You can't enjoy anything without that. That becomes everything. I'm glad there's a heaven above. Amen. I'm glad there's a God who loves me, who helps me with my life. Someone said, religion is the opiate of the people, then give me more. Some other people said, religion is nothing but a crutch, then I want two of them. Can you say amen? My religion is not some man-made philosophy of something that may or may not exist. Amen. This is a relationship with a living God. When I got saved, he saved me. Make no mistake about it. He did the work. It changed me from the inside out. And it's an ongoing thing. Praise God. It's still going on and going on and going on. Hallelujah. This is real stuff. Listen to what David prayed. We read this scripture at least. I'm going to, again, reassuming the posture of victory. Here's something you want to get as you read this psalm. Your emotions don't have to be on top of the world to praise God. We have been too governed by our feelings. Amen? Amen. I worked for 12 years. For Winn-Dixie Manufacturing, production, labor, hard, fast-paced, stressed. There were days when I got up, particularly after a Sunday service, and then Monday facing me, and everyone would tell me as I aged, slow down, pace yourself. When there is conveyors running, you don't pace yourself. They set the pace. And they don't see bottles spinning on those fillers. You know what they see? 90 a minute being filled. They don't see bottles of milk. Those foremen, those people who run that plant, they don't see bottles of milk. You know what they see? They see dollars. It's like we're printing money right here. Look at them. And the less people we can hire to help get the job done, the more money we can make. If I can get one person to do the work of two, absolutely go for it. If it's killing them, we'll get another one. Remember Bill Cosby? His kid was acting up. He said, you better quit it. And the kid kept acting up. He said, you better quit it. The kid kept acting up. He said, you better quit it. I'll kill you and make one just like you. Of course, he said it with a smile. He loves children. Don't take him wrong. Bill Cosby, my man. All they saw was the money. I couldn't pace myself. There were Mondays when I got up just kind of numb. I didn't feel energy. I felt spiritually spent from ministry and physically spent from working without resting, but I got to go start the process again. I didn't feel like going to work. Guess what? I overcame my flesh. I got in my car. I drove to the job. I did not pick up the phone and say, I really don't feel like coming in today. I was able to overcome my flesh to go to work. And some people let it win and won't come to church. I'm telling you, you can beat this thing. You get real hungry. Real hungry. You're going to rustle up something. I don't care how tired you are. You're going to... I got an old dog. Man, I think she's looking forward to being dead. She loves to sleep that much. Amen. I'm serious. She's good. But when it comes supper time, there's a time of day, and we got kind of a rhythm There is a time when it's supper time. Suddenly that dog comes alive. The tail that has laid there like a dead dog by the road for hours. Amen. Sometimes I have to look and see if she's breathing. Amen. But it's supper time. Just to hear something in the kitchen means they're probably fixing me a plate. Suddenly that tail begins to, outside it's on a room built on the house, you know, and it's got that metal, and she's laying by that metal on a big old pillow we got for her old sad bones, and she's laying on that pillow, you know, and she hears something inside, and you hear, and it's not her knocking, it's her tail in anticipation beating on that wall. Don't tell me you can't defeat the flesh. That old dog can get up and wag that tail. We can get up. If we had a tail, we could wag it, couldn't we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The flesh can be defeated. You do it all the time when you're highly motivated to do it. Did you know that some of you can run? You say, I haven't ran in years. If you were the first one out that door and a huge water moccasin was laying right there, I bet you could run back in this church. I believe you could do it. Don't make me go get a snake. Go ahead and say amen this morning. We don't handle snakes around here. I bet you could run. I bet you can hop. I bet you can climb. That's right. She said this. I don't know what she would climb, but she'd probably climb him. Get up on his shoulders and I'll snake, snake. I'm just speaking from experience what my wife would do to me. Yes, you were moving pretty fast. Spider in the shower. I was asleep. She got me up to show me the spider she killed in the circle. She saved my bacon. If I'd have got in there with that sucker, there'd been trouble. I can handle cockroaches. I'm not too scared of snakes. I sometimes pick up black snake, get him out of our yard, you know, and he'll wrap all around my. They say they run other snakes off. They're not bad to have around, but anyway. But he wrapped around my arm, and I had to uncoil him around my arm. And my son and my wife back there going, 36-year-old son of mine, and I got the snake, and I feel like a hero. You know what I do with snakes like that? They're pretty good snakes. They're not bad snakes. They're territorial. They keep the bad snakes away. So if you got to choose a snake, he's the best snake to have. Amen. He eats the frogs and varmints and stuff like that. And you know what I do with him? We got fences up between our houses. I just take him over the fence. And give him. One time I thought about that, and I thought, what if my neighbor was out in his backyard just walking along? Here comes this snake. I would feel so bad when he had a sudden cardiac arrest. I got enough guilt just throwing him over there. I don't want nobody to get hurt. What I'm telling you is that your flesh can be subjugated, can be disciplined. That you can have victory. God, listen, God doesn't strengthen your emotions. You're going to feel them. They're not going away. So when you think for strength to come, that you suddenly get up every morning and you got this emotional high, sometimes things are going to happen in your families and your lives that are heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, heart-rending. But God is going to strengthen you where? In your inward man. Why? Because the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And though the outward man perish, show all the weaknesses of a fallen world and a faulty body, the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm telling you, Shirley's body. We were laughing on the phone about some of the things that Shirley and Kim are talking about. Uncle Charlie's bald head. Here she's facing what she's facing. The inward man has to be strengthened because the outward man is perishing. But the inward man is all right. I love the way John Quincy Adams put it, one of our presidents who had a real distinct faith in God. How is it with John Quincy Adams? They asked him at 85 when his health was beginning to fade. He said, John Quincy Adams is quite well, thank you. The house he lives in has weathered many storms. It is teetering and becoming quite dilapidated. I shall have to be moving out soon. But John Quincy Adams is quite well. Thank you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! That's the faith. That's the faith we're supposed to be fighting for, because that's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's the message of Him and heaven and hope that goes beyond this world, that's bringing revival to Red China and South America and South Korea. In America, we're earthbound. We rarely sing or talk about heaven. We never hardly talk about the soon coming of Jesus in our seminars. We talk about how to get material things. And the Father says that's not where your heart's supposed to be, nor your focus. If you be risen with Christ, seek the Colossians 3:1. Seek where? Seek what? Seek what? Does the Father know what you need? I didn't ask, does the Father know what you want? I did not ask, does the Father know what you want? I asked, does the Father know what you personally need? Then He said, seek the things that are above. Seek you first the kingdom. The kingdom involves the lordship of Christ and our surrender to Him. Righteousness. There's no way to be right with God if we're not fully surrendered to Him. This is not just positional. This involves personal. Amen? And all these things, the Father knows everything you need. He knows you've got a light bill to pay, and He cares. Believe it or not, God cares about it. He knows that you need an automobile that'll crank up and take you to work and take you home and take you to the grocery store. Your Father knows that. He's not at all interested in whether you're keeping up with the Joneses, because that involves pride and ego. And He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Amen. I need grace. I don't know about you. Amen. He's not concerned about you making comparisons or wanting to put on a show or prove something to someone in this old fallen world. He is concerned that you have food on your table, clothes on your back, and having food and raiment. He says, I want you to quit looking around to the right or to the left. Having food and raiment, I want you to be C-O-N-T-E-N-T, content. We got preachers that are not content. There's only two of them living in the house, and the house is never big enough for the two of them, because they got to prove to the other preacher they're just as big a preacher as they are. It has ruined Holy Ghost revivals. Competitivism and comparing. Amen. It has. Back in the day when they chronicled the great tent movements, when the only place you could hardly find a move of God was to get out in a good old-fashioned tent meeting with sawdust on the floor, where the Holy Ghost just had His way. Amen. Oral Roberts, amen. A.A. Allen, go right down the line. They just move from tent to tent, these itinerant preachers, but God would show up and move. Can you say amen? And one of them, Jack Coe, I remember Jack Coe. I was in these meetings. I'm that old. Amen. Tampa Revival Center. But I remember these meetings, Holy Ghost meetings. Glory to God. Devils cast out. I'm telling you, the power of God. We can show you our church, our programs. It's all beautiful. There was a drummer from a rock group. Came to Christ. Led to Christ by a fellow Christian. Never been to church. Started reading his Bible. Couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Man told him, start reading in the New Testament. Can you say amen? Don't try to figure out all the other. Get into that. That'll enrich your soul. Get you rooted and built up in Jesus. Then you can deal with the other. Get that foundation under you. He started just voraciously eating the gospel of John and Matthew and Mark and Luke. Went to his first church service as a born-again saved man. Still was on tour with a band. Hadn't said goodbye to it yet. But when they stopped that, he gave his resignation. Said, can't tour with you no more. Can't drink with you no more. Can't shoot up with you no more. Can't toke up with you no more. Can't even tell you jokes anymore. Went to his first church service. Went in and sit down. And this mighty choir sung these beautiful, powerful songs. And the preacher came and was right in the middle of a rousing servant. He's sitting by a lady and he couldn't hold it anymore. He's sitting by a lady and he nudged her. True story. He says, when do we do the stuff? And the lady said, what do you mean the stuff? He said, you know, he's holding his Bible. He says, you know, cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, the stuff. When do we do the stuff? And she looked back at him and says, we don't do that here. We just sing about it. We just sing about it. Are we so impressed with our choirs, our preachers, our buildings, that we forgot what this is really all about? They that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit. That's why we poured out of beautiful churches into old canvas tents, because we knew there's more to this thing than just listening to the preacher like a bobblehead. You ever seen them things? You touch them and they start going like that. That's it. Yeah, that's right. The Holy Ghost is here. Jesus is in the building. Yes, he's here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And go home. That's it. That's what it's all about. But oh, look at our building. Oh, look at our choir. We got 852 things to do this month. What about the Spirit of God? What about Holy Ghost revival? What about, amen, people that are earthbound, amen, starting to travel light? Can you say, man? What about people who rarely give God a second thought during the week till they show up on Sunday? Can you say, man, to being consumed by the fire of His Spirit? Can you say, man, walking into the job on fire for God? Instead of just a simple church goer. I'll tell you, the world out there don't care if you go to church, don't go to church. Just don't go to work on fire. Can you say amen? Amen. That really irks them. I worked for 12 years. I took a lot of fire into that plant. I didn't go in tired on... I went tired in my body, of course, but I didn't go tired in my spirit, because God had moved so much on that job, I expected opportunities to witness. I couldn't just talk to anybody, talk religion or Bible or anything that was disallowed, you know. But I would walk into the break room and somebody would ask a question. Somebody would pick up a newspaper and say, doesn't it say something like this in the Bible, Rev? About you know, isn't there something in prophecy about this? I'm going to tell you, the world is interested in prophecy. Can you say, man, they're very interested. Church is interested, amen. They're interested in things about the end. You'd be amazed how many people out there don't go to church. But when you start talking about the end, you talk about some of the things, the ozone layer, you're talking about it in the book of Revelation. You talk about, amen, you know what they're developing right now? Listen, if the church should preach Jesus soon coming again, we might could get some people interested. Amen. We're talking about what they already have, amen, and how to get more of it. We need to start talking about something they don't have. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, the world is waiting for the church to take a leadership role and start talking about the things of eternity and the things of the Spirit of God. They would ask me something, I'd say, that's what the prophecies teach. You know what that means? I would tell them, and there's always a captive audience, because there's always those people in there listening. Amen. And they'd say, you're a man of the cloth. What does this mean? Rev, you studied the Bible. What does that mean? Rev, did you see this in the paper? These are not Christians asking these questions. These are people who have had a background somewhere, but they're not in church anywhere. But they know something is about to happen. Something is unfolding here. Amen. Things are not just going on and on and on. There's something bigger than the economic issue. There's something bigger than the political issues. There's something bigger than the material issues that's unfolding. Hallelujah. And the church of Jesus Christ needs to wake up. The world is primed and ready for a gospel that gives them hope beyond this world. How can we be living in such prophetically significant times? and not be preparing for the soon coming of Jesus Christ? Can you say amen? And focusing on things above and not the things of the earth. But they that are of the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh and the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh. If you hear somebody, listen, God blesses. There's no doubt about it. They're in there. They're not top shelf. Amen. Because that applies to the temporal, not the spiritual. To the material, not the eternal. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? They're there, but they're not on the top shelf where we have put them. What's on the top shelf is the eternal destiny of the human soul. That'll always be number one on God's agenda. Can you say amen? There's something else on the top shelf. Amen. Above all this other stuff. Amen. And the whole fivefold ministry is supposed to be involved in it. You can read it for yourself. He has said in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, for the edifying of the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come, amen, to perfect that is lacking in our faith, until we all come to the unity of the faith. Listen to this, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. God said, my spirit is moving, amen, right now in my body to bring the church, amen, out of the world, to sanctify her, set her apart as a bride for my son. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. And to conform us to the image of his son. Amen. The only way that you can claim Romans 8:28. Is to surrender to and cooperate with Romans 8:29. We've taken things out of context. Listen, if you are compromised in your life and you give place to Satan, all things are not going to work together for good.
No, they're not.
The thief came to do what? Steal. Kill. What are you told? Give no place to him. Can you say amen? But if you, oh my God, listen to this. Listen to this. For we know that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. To them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Next verse is his purpose that you must cooperate with for everything to work together for good. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. Everybody say the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Can you say amen? We're not challenged to become more like Jesus. In fact, we're challenged to become more like the world. They gauge worth by how much you have and who you are. Christ says that means nothing if you don't know Jesus. Means nothing if you don't have eternal life. Means nothing when your soul is required of you. Who shall these things be? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, humbled himself, made of himself no reputation, and humbled himself, and took on himself the form of a servant, and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Let this mindset, be in you. Jesus hadn't humbled himself, he would have never hung on that cross. But he humbled himself, took on himself. Listen, we're talking about God incarnate. Took on himself the form of a servant to pour out his life, lay it down, and was obedient to the death of the cross. We see preachers walking around with their chest out like roosters crowing instead of men humbled before God and broken for the lost. And we want to be like them. We see them ever getting, but never having enough. Never having enough. Mercedes ain't enough. Got to have a Bentley. Bentley ain't enough. Got to have a Rolls. Rolls ain't even enough because somebody else has got one. I'm going to have something built just for me. And have a Bobby Mobile. I mean, Batman got a Batmobile. Why can't Bobby have the Bobbymobile? Right? Ain't Batman got a Batmobile? Well, what would be wrong with me to call Detroit and say, make me a Bobbymobile? I got the money. When I drive up, I want everybody to know You can't buy what I got. This was made for me. Why? Why? There's only one reason. I've got to prove something that I, like the world, is as egotistical and as proud, and I got something to prove. Honey, what we need to prove is that we're the true, authentic followers of Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves. We become servant-hearted. I didn't say poor and needy. But a Cadillac just might do. Maybe a Cadillac will do. You reckon a Cadillac would do?
No.
Not for people who see through the lens of the flesh. Because they're just like the world. Ever getting, never having enough. There's a prison called the prison of want. You know what it is? No matter what you get, you always want something else. And it's a prison that people can't get out of until you come to Christ and you look through and you see things in the Spirit. Can you say amen? And you look at things through a different lens. You get rid of that worldly lens. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you see things differently. Glory to God. I said you see things differently. You see things. You begin to appreciate eternal things and the things of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I would be blessed today if somebody came up and said, you need a new truck. And I do. I could use a new truck. And they just said, come down with me. I'm going to buy you a brand new truck. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I would enjoy it. I don't believe there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. But I sure wouldn't look over my shoulder to see what somebody else is driving and say, you know, this truck ain't good enough for me. Remember that song by, it was a one-hit wonder. I am too sexy for my car. Too sexy for my car. And we're laughing about that crazy song. It was crazy. But there's a pastor that visited a pastor of some huge church recently, and he was talking to him about the fact that he'd been coming quite a while as a retired minister. He said, I don't want to be critical. I just want to ask you a legitimate question. Why don't we ever hear about the blood of Jesus or the cross or heaven? Sooner or later, you figure you might fit that in. He didn't put it in those terms, but he was asking him with respect. And this pastor had one of these feel-good churches and felt-need churches. He said, that's not sexy enough for our congregation. In other words, we're on the cutting edge. Our people want to hear something that is current and up-to-date. This is outdated and old-fashioned. And when I read that, my stomach turned. I wasn't going to say that, but I will amen it. It just doesn't fit our profile. Honey, when we cannot talk about the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, the things of the Spirit, and heaven in church, we are in deep trouble. We are in a spiritual identity crisis. We are talking like we're Christians, but we're looking more and more like the fallen world. Can you say amen? And the revival that God wants to send to America is going to be an old-fashioned, devil-chasing, Holy Ghost revival that puts all of the focus on Jesus and heaven, hallelujah, and the things of the Spirit of God. I would drive a truck if God gave it to me brand new and enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you something. When I walk through that door, my joy won't come from that truck sitting in the parking lot. It'll come from the Holy Ghost that's in this church and Jesus who's in my heart. Somebody give Him praise. Oh, give Him praise. Hallelujah. We can't read this psalm. Brother, would you come? We got to quit now. I'm going to preach all day. God is in this room. Hallelujah. God is in this place. Hallelujah. I believe with all of my heart to the degree that I can prophesy it unto you. We've seen false revivals. How do you know they were false? They didn't last and the leaders of them fell. And if you think that's the best God can send us, God help you. The revival that God wants to send to America. I do not believe is going to be led by any one man or woman. I believe where churches exalt Jesus. Amen. Where ministers step behind the pulpit with a word from the Lord on Sunday morning. Not what is selling the best books at the Christian bookstore, but a word from the Lord. One thing the Lord is going to do, He's going to point us toward Jesus. He's going to point us toward heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. And when the church begins to appreciate and appropriate the things of the Spirit of God, when you would rather have God's blessing, amen, and see things, amen, in the Spirit, than to be like the world out there and you consider yourself rich already in Christ. Hallelujah. When once again the church can say, such as I have, and we begin to see demons cast out again because they didn't quit operating because the church quit dealing with them. Can you say amen? How many know demons hadn't hung up their weapons and sat just because the church decided we're going to deal with the material and the physical, we're not going to deal with the spiritual anymore. I believe divine healing is needed and God wants to restore it. I would not be here today if there wasn't a church that could deal with leukemia in the name of Jesus Christ. We had no insurance. We were poor folk. And the doctor literally told my parents, take him home until it's in its last stages. When it gets in the last stages, we will get him on an emergency basis admitted to the county hospital, which wasn't a big hospital then. It was a little old Stephen King looking place where you could probably film a horror movie in it right now and it'd be the perfect backdrop. It's just cold walls and understaffed and it didn't smell good. The old county hospital, you know where it is. I used to go to the mental ward, visit people there in the early days. I passed it. Every time I passed that hospital on the way to church, driving from Plant City to the Holy Church of God, I turned down that road, went by the old county hospital, and I looked over there and thought, that's where I was headed. At 8 years old, that's where I was headed. And I wasn't headed there to be cured. They didn't have a bone marrow transplant. They didn't have any of the modern stuff. I was headed there to be made comfortable while I died. Are you listening to me? But my daddy got me by the hand in a church service in Tampa, Florida. Amen. At the Tampa Revival Center, Joe Woodward was the pastor. We had a traveling evangelist coming through. Amen. He just went from church to church. That's all he did. That was his whole life. Amen. Just going from church to church and preaching and calling people to salvation and laying hands on the sick. And so anyway, amen, I remember my daddy grabbing me by the hand. I was so weak. I could just shuffle my feet. I remember him taking me forward. I'll never forget it. Amen. As we walked forward, they had a healing line. They were laying hands on the sick. As I walked forward, I felt God down around my toes begin to tingle. You said, oh, that was anxiety. Well, if anxiety heals of cancer, then give me a, somebody scare me. Can you say amen? Or you, no, don't write this stuff off. If you get the result, you can't write it off. You can't write this thing off. Amen. I walked down a little further. I felt it coming up my legs. I didn't just feel electrical feelings. I knew what it was. In fact, I knew who it was. I felt God. I was 8 years old and I felt God. I felt something holy happening to me. Amen. I got a little bit closer. See, it's not just the man up there with the anointing or the woman. It's the Spirit of God active in that place. I felt my up to my waist. Hallelujah. I didn't know the scripture then, but there's a description of that kind of thing in the Old Testament. The prophet said, I began to walk out in the water. Amen. It got up to my ankles. I went on a little further. It got up to my knees. I went a little further. It got up. See, the church don't want to go any further. We build our building. We get our PhD preacher. We get all these programs in place. We get an award-winning choir. We have visiting evangelists, amen, that are notorious all over the place. We don't need anything else. I'm rich in Christ's goods. I don't need nothing else. I don't need to go a little further. But when you get hungry for the things of the Spirit, you always want to go a little further. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I went a little further, and the water got up to my neck. Looked like that ought to be enough. The water was up to my neck. He said, and I went a little further, and the bottom fell out, and there was waters to swim in. Couldn't touch the bottom anymore. Can you say amen? Well, it was coming up on me. Amen. The Holy Spirit was all over that place. It was specifically where the prayers were being offered. I remember when I got up, I felt it come up, and then I felt myself engulfed in the presence of God. My mother, I said my dad, my mother, who wasn't even a believer, she was taking me forward because she wanted her son to be healed. She went to tell him what was wrong with me. He got a word of knowledge. He beat her to it. God knew, saw me coming. He got a word of knowledge. Show me your Rolex all day long, old horse. I'm not impressed. Get a word of knowledge and see somebody delivered. You got my undivided attention. Can you say amen? Come on, come on. I'm talking about the things of the Spirit of God this morning. I'm not talking about what man can do. I'm not talking about the material, the physical, nor the financial. I'm talking about what God can do. Don't get me wrong. God wants to bless you financially. But He doesn't care whether you keep up with no Joneses. He doesn't care about your showing off. He doesn't care about... That's pride. That's of the flesh. They that are of the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. Listen, to be carnally minded is what? It's death to your spirit man. But to be spiritually minded is not just life on a higher level, but it's peace. You get freed from the prison of want. David put it this way, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can you say amen? I like the way one preacher preached the evangelist. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. Your father knows you need food. He knows you need raiment. If you put his kingdom first, he said, I'll see to it. But let's get our soul prospering. That's number one with God. Everything else follows your soul prospering. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the man got the word of knowledge. And he said, I rebuke cancer of the blood. I command you in the name of Jesus, leave this young man and trouble him no more. We went home from that church service. The next morning I woke up. I used to have nightmares every night, the same reoccurring nightmare. It was the same thing. I can't explain it to you, but I felt like really now looking back, the enemy was trying to destroy me because he saw me here preaching today. He saw me at the Holy Church of God. He saw me at work sharing Christ with people. And I would have this reoccurring dream. And I won't go into that, but every time it started, it never changed. And it would wake me up screaming in the night. That night, I slept through. I ran to the mirror the next day because I didn't know what it was, but my skin was becoming pallid and jaundiced, and I was yellow in my eyes. It was affecting my liver. I went and looked in the mirror after that prayer and that presence. I looked in the mirror and I thought, I'm not yellowish anymore. I had a dog, a wiener dog, beagle wiener mix. His name was Poncho. Poncho loved to play chase. Ah, I got me one now. It loves the same thing. I'll be sitting at the computer. He comes and drops the ball at my feet and looks up at me. Come on, let's do this thing. And he won't let me alone until I let him run with the ball and pretend I'm chasing him. We have the, because I can't do a lot of chasing. He don't even care. He just loved to run from me. I went outside and I started running with that dog. Used to, I would just walk outside and have to come back and lay down on the couch. I ran all day long. Me and that dog had a time. I celebrated my strength, my health. They put me on a real high, a tonic type of vitamin thing just to try to keep my resistance up, you know. Not to cure anything, just to keep me going for a while. And my mother said to me, Bobby, it's time for your medicine. And I said, Mama, God healed me last night. And took off running with my dog. And she said, I felt so bad because I knew that you really believed that. And I saw the change. And we went back to the doctor, drew new blood. He said, spontaneous remission. No chemotherapy, no radiation, no bone marrow transplant. The cancer that was there was gone. Everybody say spontaneous remission. From 8 until 62. So I want more out of church than how many activities there are on their calendar. I want more out of church than how beautiful their building is. Because none of that could have helped me. Can you say amen? I want the stuff. You didn't hear me. You didn't remember my story. I want the stuff. I don't care where it is. I don't care. As long as the stuff is there. What is the stuff? The things of the Spirit. Can you say amen? The things that only God can do. Something that says a supernatural God is intervening in this thing. A supernatural God is answering prayer here. A delivering God is on the scene. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! The staff! Will you stand to your feet today? God is in this place. I will never be satisfied without the stuff. I will never be impressed without the stuff. Hallelujah. Man will build you in the last days. What's going to happen? They're going to heap to themselves teachers. Having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. I'll be there and I'll contribute. And you get enough people there contributing, you can build something that'll knock your eye out. But if you ever need a miracle from God, it's going to come through the mighty name of Jesus being exalted, His cross being preached, His blood being lifted high. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And people that are surrendered to Him. Are you ready to worship? How many want the stuff in your life? God's deliverance, God's help, God visiting us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise in this room today. Let's give Him praise. How many came here to praise the Lord? Amen. Has your spirit been lifted just a little bit today? Do you feel any water up about ankle deep?